Everybody's found your place. Stand this morning, please. Look with me in verse 4 this morning. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's scary. Anybody here has never sinned? You may be seated. I appreciate your honor reading God's word. The soul that sinneth shall die. At verse we look at, I want to preach this morning on the wages of sin. There is a wage or a payday for sin. You know that, right? And you look in the scriptures, the Bible says all have sinned. That means I, everyone under my voice, everybody out there, maybe listening to this in the air, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we look at Adam back there, the Bible said, ye that are saved this morning, hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin. We were dead in trespass and sin. We just weren't sick, we were dead. A resurrection had to take place. Had to quicken us up. Wake up our conscience. Make our conscience alive. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin of death, but what? Somebody want to finish that verse for me? The gift of God is the eternal life this morning. I like that last part of that verse. You know, the first part said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the Bible said in Adam all died. We all died spiritually. Are you listening to me? That part of death which has already taken place is a spiritual death. And that's why we had to be quickened, you and I, made alive. Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. And that part of death has already taken place in you and I. We were spiritually dead. In Adam, all died, like I said. And some people said that God lied. He told Adam, said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Somebody said he didn't die that day. But the Bible says one day is as 1,000 years with God. And 1,000 years is one day. So Adam lived to be 930 years. He didn't make it a complete day on God's calendar. Right? See, we're going to go spend a day with the Lord one day after a while. The Lord's day. That's the millennium. That's 1,000 years, right? He's going to reign, right, for 1,000 years. You got that? So that's his day. You understand now the spiritual thinking? Adam, when he was there, somebody said, well, he didn't actually die. Oh, yeah, he died. See, man is created threefold this morning. We're created in a trinity just like God. God's always dwelt in a three-room house in the person of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That tabernacle we study about sometimes, and Kurt was teaching on here a while back about those curtains in the tabernacle. That tabernacle was a three-room worship place. Had an outer court, inner court, and the holies of holies. Man's created threefold this morning, body, soul, and spirit. Is that right? And what death does, death separates the soul from the body. Death does not annihilate. The wages of sin is death. And Adam died spiritually there. I mean, there was a time that God came and walked with Adam in the garden. And God, as a father, came and presented a bride unto the husband there, did he not? He came and presented a woman unto Adam. Is that what the Bible said? Are you listening? I said, there was a time that God and Adam walked together and had fellowship. I do not know what type of theophany, that's a word, big word, and I just picked it up over the years. That just means a pre-reincarnation. In other words, God incarnated himself in different forms in the Old Testament. Sometimes he called himself the angel of the Lord. And in different forms, he manifested himself to different men, to Adam, to Jacob. Jacob said, I saw the face of God live at Bethel there. And Adam, God came down there in some type of form and fellowship with Adam. And brought the woman, presented him unto the man there, and took a marriage, I think, took place. It's there in the book of Genesis where it said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. In the book of Genesis back there. So I think it was a marriage took place there from those words, okay? And Adam spiritually walked with God and fellowship with God. And I think he had fellowship with the angels. That's just Homer theology. But he was innocent. He was without sin, right? And so earth is just a little piece of heaven at that time. It was called paradise, was it not? And so, but Adam died spiritually. Like I said, there was a time him and God could fellowship and talk together, but when he sinned there, at spiritual death died. He stopped fellowshipping with God. Now we find him not out there waiting for God, but we found him hiding behind a tree, trying to hide from God. Was that true? He died spiritually, and eventually he started dying naturally. He started getting old and gray-headed, and his hair probably started falling out, and his eyes got dim. He had to have glasses to see and everything. And he got wrinkles on his face and had to get makeup to try to make himself look good and everything, right? And eventually, after 930 years, Adam died a literal death. But that spiritual part of man, when he died spiritually, Adam had a loss of purity there. Like I said, Adam was created innocent there without sin. And he lost that purity that he had there. And listen, when you and I, in Adam we all died. When we were born into this world, we inherited that depraved, that sinful nature that Adam's got there. And we lost that purity that we had. I looked at these kids this morning. They've got some purity about them. I said, till they come to the age of accountability, that any sin they commit is not accounted to them. Is that right? And so they got some purity about him. But Adam lost that purity whenever he sinned. Or he lost that. Not only the loss of purity, but he lost the company of those angels, like I said, and the company of God. There was a time, like I said, when God and him could fellowship together and talk and have a wedding and everything. And I kind of think the angels played the wedding march. And that's just Homer theology, whatever it's worth there. But he lost that company of those angels coming and going. You see, the angels and camp around about them that fear God this morning. And if we fear God, that means they're in camp. I can't see him, but Adam, I think, with a pure body and without sin, a sinless body, I think he could see those angels there. Whenever you and I get a glorified body, we'll be able to see him then, right? They're here today, but we just don't see him. And he lost that purity. He lost the company of the angels, company of God. He lost the love of wholeness. See, you and I, whenever we was born into this sinful and had this sinful nature, we inherited this sinful nature that Adam had and passed down to you and I, we lost that purity and lost that desire to be holy. We wanted to be unrighteous. I've told you, the Bible said the wicked go astray from the womb speaking lies. These babies here, they're got purity about them. But sometimes they'll lie to you before they ever learn to talk. They'll cry like they're dying. All they want you to do is pick them up and pet them. Is that right, grandpas and grandmas? Moms and dads? Huh? Listen, we lost that desire, that purity. We lost that desire for wholeness about us. And like I said, these children here, even though they've got this innocence about them, they'll still get off and do things that they shouldn't do. They'll get in mom's makeup and you tell them not to. Right, women? And boys will get playing with daddy's guns and things like that. And not to, we lose that purity about us, that innocence about us. And Adam was no longer a part of God's family. He lost the happiness. Whew. And we see this morning sinner's whole soul is dead. If you're spiritually dead and your soul is dead, then therefore it has effect upon your body this morning. Is that right? I mean, the soul that's dead this morning, especially dead this morning, his feet no longer run in God's ways today. He runs away from God. Is that the way you and I were when we were lost and undone without God this morning? And people would talk to me about going to church, and I'd say, I have no need, I have no use for your religion. Right. We have no, our feet, we're especially dead, and it causes effect upon our feet. We don't run to God's house, and we don't go to worship. And we... The Bible teaches you and I said, seek ye the old paths and ask. In other words, if you seek for them and if you can't find them, ask somebody. Seek for them. If you can't find them, ask someone where they're at, where the old path is. Wherein is the good way? And said, walk therein and you shall find rest for your soul. Hey, but the man that's spiritually dead, his feet does not walk. Look for the old path. His feet do not walk on the old path this morning. His feet walk out there to the things of the world. Was you and I not like the same way? There's none good this morning, folks. I've told you the only good thing about me is Christ in me today. And it's not I that loves you, but it's Christ in me showing that He loves you this morning through me. He just uses His vessel to show you His love. Is that right? Oh, when we're spiritually dead, our feet, like I said, run not in the ways of God, and our hands are not lifted up for prayer or for good things or for praise this morning. See, the Jews, I've told you before, men ought to always pray uplifting holy hands. And sometimes people think that that's that and pray. And that's fine. I don't like for people to tell me how to worship, okay? But if I want to raise my hands, if I want to praise God, I'll have the liberty to do so, okay? But the Jew, what they're saying there, men ought to always pray uplifting holy hands. Pray uplifting holy hands. What the Jew would do, they said they would hold out their hands like this when they prayed, expecting to receive something from God. That shows faith this morning, you understand? In other words, they'd hold their hands, and men ought to always pray. But listen, the person that's spiritually dead this morning, their hand do not lift up in prayer. They don't look to God and ask God for blessing. They don't look to God and ask God to save them, but they run away from God and hold their hands and their feet, run towards the world and not towards God this morning. Their whole soul is dead. Their feet and their hands, their ears are not open to spiritual things. How many of us can say whenever we've lost that we won't anybody talk to us about the Bible or anything like that? Oh, but somebody come along with some old filthy, dirty joke or something like that, our ears were, our ears was open to listen to it and to laugh at it. Was it not our tongue and our mouth to laugh and rejoice at worldly things this morning? The man that is dead, his ears hear not spirituality, and his eyes see not. And the reason his eyes see not, because the devil has blinded his mind today. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. In whom the God of this world, and the God of this world is the devil, has blinded their minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them this morning. If you're lost this morning, the devil's got your mind blinded, and your eyes can't see this morning spiritual things today. His mouth neither sings the praises of God, or lifts up praises to God. How many of us, when he's lost, ever sit down and sung a gospel song? Oh, maybe when we're kids, like these kids here, we may have. I remember some of them told me that I baptized them whenever I was 6, 7, 8 years old. I guess I was a preacher then. And we'd have church service among the folks in church. You know, when you're kids, we do that a lot of times, right? But when we get older, we get away from those things in our minds and our hearts. We don't no longer sing praises to God or no longer look up in prayer to God because we're spiritually dead. The man that's spiritually dead, his heart melts not. Through the graces of God, even those preached to him week after week and year after year, there's folks in this community here lost without God, going to hell, that have set here under this congregation, heard multitudes of preachers, different preachers, dozens of preachers, preach the message of God, yet their heart has not been melted because they're spiritually dead this morning. And oh, how they need a quickening this morning. How they need to be quickened from, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. They need God to quicken them today. And then, not only the spirituality of death this morning, but there's the legal part of death today. The person that is lost and undone without God has lost all claim for merit. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Now listen to me careful. We're all depraved creatures. We inherited depravity, like I said, from Adam. I've told you over and over again. It's when Adam ate that tree of knowledge, whatever it was, it poisoned his bloodline. And that sin that was in the bloodline was passed down to you and I, just like some kids inherit certain diseases because their parents have it in their bloodline, right? Some kids come out of The woman, they're already addicted to drugs because the drugs was in the prince's bloodline. Can you understand that? Well, if you can understand that, then you can try to understand how that we inherited that sinful nature, that depraved nature. And you know what it says? We have nothing in us that merits to be saved this morning. It's only by God's grace that I am what I am today. I did not merit to be saved. I didn't deserve to be saved. I had no ability to save myself, even if I could this morning. And I threw myself at the mercies of God and at God's grace. And I am, like Paul said, what I am by the grace of God today. It's a loss of inheritance this morning. The legal part of this death. That sinner that's lost is, he's lost his rights of citizenship. When you and I were lost, we may not have realized it, but the Bible said that we were without Christ. We knew that, right? We knew we was lost. We was without Christ. We didn't have Christ in our hearts, in our life. But not only being without Christ, he said we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. An alien. Now think about that. An alien is someone from another planet. Or alien is someone from another. We got these illegal aliens coming in the country. An alien is someone from another country. He said, listen, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Without Christ. Strangers from the covenant of promise. In other words, God had given the nation of Israel a covenant here and promises down here. And you and I were strangers from those this morning. Hey, listen, I'm glad the Jews rejected him. I'm glad they rejected him, and so I could get grafted in. Are you listening to me? Hey, if they hadn't rejected him, you and I couldn't have got grafted in. And he broke off some branches that he might graft. Well, that's amazing grace this morning. Did you hear what I said? We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and no hope and without God in the world. What a sad state for someone to be lost and undone without God today. No hope. And without God. Now that's the part that takes place in a spiritual death. But there's a part that takes place here in a natural death. And we all might as well get prepared for it. Most of us has got plans probably this morning. Now let me pause here and say something. If I don't get finished in time, my daughter and her husband's got to go to a funeral. So if they get up and leave, they're not mad at their daddy, okay? And I didn't preach something that they didn't agree with. But most of us has got plans. Maybe after church, we're going to do this and do that, or get together and go here and go there, eat or whatever, right? Most of us already probably got planned what we're going to do tomorrow and what we're going to go to work at tomorrow and everything, right? But has any of us made plans to die today? We need to get prepared to meet God this morning. The Bible said it's once appointed unto men to die, right? And after death, there's got a judgment we got to go to. So we all got an appointment with death today, and we can't cancel or change that appointment. Sometimes you can change a doctor's appointment. But we've got an appointment. I don't know when my appointment is. That's scary sometimes. You know, you know it's out there. And you got an appointment with him. And you don't know when he's going to pounce up on you. Right? There's a literal death that we've all got to face. And I've told you over the years, right now I'm a dying man preaching to dying men and women today. And we need to get prepared for death. Get prepared for that. Get things right with God. Now listen, death does not annihilate. You can throw someone into a fire today and it will literally burn up their body, right? But this death does not annihilate. What it does, death does not annihilate. It separates. It separates the soul and the spirit from the body today. Soon, pretty soon, the death angel is going to call to you and I, every one of us, and the soul is going to leave out of this body and there's just going to be an old lump of clay laying there. It's a separation is all it is. It separates the soul and the spirit from the body. And that old piece of clay that you're looking at this morning to lay there, and somebody come by and say, don't he look good? My sister said that about her dad, and I said, no, not really. I said, I don't know see anything good about people dying. I mean, the undertaker sometimes do a pretty good job with that old lump of clay. And we might think it looks good, But we've got a separation, the soul and the body, the thing that God valued more than the whole world, the soul. Are you listening to me? We, as human beings, we're a strange creature. We'll do everything we can to take this body, take care of it, right? If you get sick, you run to the doctor, right? When your shoulder's messed up, you run to the doctor. When I get sick, I run to the doctor. And that's natural. But listen to me. Look how many years we laid around, especially dead, and never sought after God or to get saved or anything like that. Cared about the soul. And yet the soul, God, they said a few years ago, and this is, it may be inflation, may be worth more. They said a few years ago, take the mineral that's in this body down here. Now, listen, this earth is full of minerals. You know that. You've got gold in some part of the country. We got coal around here, right? We got diamonds in other parts of the country. The earth is worth something. The minerals in the earth is worth something. It's in some places. But they said a few years ago, if you took all the minerals that's in this body down here, it's worth about $3. I said, we'll put a $50 hairdo on a $3, 10 cent head. Try to make it look good and let the soul perish and go to hell. Ain't that a sad man is in? We care not about the soul, which God valued above the whole world. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit him? What shall he give in exchange for it today? I pray somebody listens. There's a literal death going to take place. And then there's a hereafter death. Now listen to me carefully this morning. If you don't get anything else, I'll say, you can be born once. Now, all of us sitting here was born into this world, right? A literal birth took place. You can be born once and die twice. Or you can be born twice. In other words, be born literally from your mother's womb and get born again, saved by God's grace, and only have to die once. There's a death hereafter. The Bible in the book of Revelation says, blessed and holy that he that hath part in the first resurrection, for on such what? The second death. Have what? No part. If we're in that first resurrection, the second death has no part with us. We have no part with that. What that means is the Christian is going to be raptured out of here one day. We're going to stand before the beam of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. But there's going to be another judgment. There's going to be a second death come along. And that death is called a lake of fire. Whew. That's the death that takes part hereafter. Like I said, you can be born once, but you have to die twice. If you're only born one time in this world. If you don't get born again, don't get saved, you're going to die two deaths. You're going to die a literal death. Your body, there's going to be a separation of the soul and spirit from the body. But one day God is going to sit on a white throne. And God is going to call the souls out of hell. Now listen to me this morning. Hell, there are souls in hell right today. As far as I know, that rich man that Jesus talked about, he's still down there suffering. But hell is just a holding place till the final judgment comes. Are you listening to me? Sometimes when people get sentenced for a crime, or get caught in a crime, they'll take them up to the local jail and hold them there. And even after their sentence, they'll hold them in that place till they get sent off to whatever institution they're going to send them to, whatever penitentiary. Is that right? So that place is just a holding. Hell, listen, hell is just a holding place for the souls that's lost this morning. They're there. They're crying out. And I said, the day of judgment, I don't know how long it lasts for the unsaved. It'll probably be the most blessed day they'll ever have through eternity from the time they died. Because that soul will get to come out of hell for a while. God's going to call up the dead bodies, unsaved people. He's going to speak. And listen, if you're lost this morning, that death that took place literally, that body's going to come out of the grave. And you're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment. And God is going to call the souls out of hell. He's going to get the bodies up out of the sea that the Navy and all of them dropped in there years ago, or the ships that sank and went down. He'll get those bodies out of the sea. He'll get them out of the grave. And then he's going to call the souls that's in hell, that's been hell down there, all these, that old rich man. I don't know. Been down there for at least a couple of thousand years. He'll get to come out, but he'll stand before God. And then God's going to open up the books, and he's going to judge you according to your works. Determine what degree. You say, preacher, why is God going to judge us? And why is God going to take the soul and the body? Well, the soul and the body are co-conspirators in the crime. It's just like if you robbed a bank and you drove the car and somebody else went in and got the money, you're co-conspirators, right? The one drove the car, the one went in and got the money. Hey, the soul and the body are co-conspirators in your sin and in your crime today. And God's going to bring you out there, and God's going to judge you according to your works. Determine what degree, what type of punishment you're going to enter into hell. And he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed of my father. He's going to cast you into a lake of fire where the worm never dieth and the fire is never quenched. Oh God, help us this morning. There's a wage of sin. That man's going to pay. It's not our fault. We just inherited this old sinful nature. But God said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. God comes along to give men eternal life, and they don't have to go to hell today. As a matter of fact, hell was not prepared for mankind. It's prepared for the devil and his angels today. But hell has enlarged itself, the Bible said, beyond measure, because of the multitude. Just like you this morning, sat in church all your life, rejected the message, rejected God's grace. Aren't you glad that you that are saved, aren't you glad that God's long-suffering? Amen. How old were you, deacon, when you got saved? Can you think right quick? 25 years, God waited around. I don't know what age you come to age accountability. But for several years, God waited around. What? Aren't you glad he didn't send you to hell? Yeah. Some of you probably sitting here maybe 30, 40 years old before you got saved. Aren't you glad that God was long-suffering and God waited around for you to throw down your arms of rebellion and give up and surrender and get saved by God's grace? Amen. Like I said, there's a second death. That lake of fire. Now, you don't have to go there. I said, don't have to go there. It's an agonizing place. It's unmingled. It's perpetual. That means it's on and on and on. See, right now, you ladies, when you bear a child and you have labor, that's a perpetual curse God put on Eve. He said he would multiply her conception and her sorrow. In other words, I think you probably could, if Eve hadn't sinned, you girls probably could have babies without all that pain. He'd multiply that. You understand that? Her sorrow. And he'd multiply her conception. In other words, there may have been a limit to how many children a woman could have had. Some of these mothers years ago had 10, 15, 16 kids. They may not have to have so many kids to aggravate them to death. But the curse, it's a perpetual curse. It's passed down. That means continually. Hey, hell's perpetually this morning. It's continually. Man is to make his living in the sweat of his face all the days of his life. Used to be, I'd get up and get ready to go to work, and the wife say, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just serving another day of my life sentence." Who likes to work around here, really? Does it be fishing or hunting, right, boys? But it's perpetual. Hell is perpetual. Hell's eternal this morning. It's an eternal place. There's no end to it. You and I that are saved, we got in on this eternal life. Now listen to me carefully. Eternal life doesn't stop and start when you get saved or go to church or decide to quit going to church. It's like a big circle. It's eternal. No end to it. And you and I just stepped on board when we got saved. Now you can step on board this morning. You can be born again. Get saved by God's grace. Die one time. You're going to have to die. I got to die. I said I'm a dying man preaching to dying men and women. Or you can sit here, ignore the message, ignore God's grace. And then God will bring you out of hell and cast you into a lake of fire one day. Eternal punishment. Where the worm never dieth and the fire is never quenched.